Heavenly Father, we thank you once again that we can gather in that precious name of Jesus, Lord. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, Lord, that the Spirit, Lord, would come in, Lord, in a mighty way, Lord, and anoint these precious words, Lord. It's your word. Anoint it to our hearts that we would receive it, Lord. We ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Well, praise the Lord. It's good to see you all out tonight. And it's good to be here. And I'm especially thankful for my friend Lynn. She offered to take my kids' class tonight. And I thought that was really sweet. I had a lesson planned, but I was glad to kind of have a break. It's a little overwhelming to do that. Get up here too. Genesis 3, 17 through 18. We're going to be talking about thorns and afflictions tonight. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat herb of the field. And I heard just a little bit of Ty's class this morning, and he was talking in Psalms 119, and I thought, we must be studying in the same place, because I was looking at a lot of scriptures in Psalms 119, but I was talking with Brother Hill. I used to get here early back in the days and be sitting here on a Friday night, and Brother Hill would come out if he wasn't busy. And we were talking, and he once told me, he says, well, you can never get rid of the curse. And I think with all this coronavirus and everything going on, we're kind of finding that out. And I have found that to be true. I'm not a real gardener, but I like to plant peppers and things, and I get out there with the Roundup and, you know, spray around the garden and give it a couple of weeks, you know, and then put in my fertilizer and stuff. And right there on that can, it says, guaranteed 1 year, no weeds, but they don't guarantee after that. And they come back. And usually they come back before the year. And they always come back. And then the scientists come up with this GMO. I call it genetically mutilated. They call it modified food. And they try to make it resistant to weeds and bugs and different weather conditions and the different critters. And then they ruin the nutrients in it. And I believe myself that this is also the cause of many of the health problems that we face, is they've taken all the good stuff out of that food. And I'm kind of finding that out. Then I think of all the diseases that have been eradicated. And then they start treating people with these super antibiotics so they can just cover everything. If they have one thing, they say, well, let's just hit them with this, cover everything. The next thing you know, you got the mutated viruses. They thought they had tuberculosis taken care of. It's come back. And usually they're worse than they were before. Man's wisdom. I know I got into this diet and exercise program as cardio rehab for when I had my heart attack. And I thank the Lord. I thought it was about time, because I'd been praying about my diabetes. And I said, Lord, I just can't do this. You know, I can't stop eating this stuff. I can't walk by a dozen donuts, you know. Well, then I had the heart attack. And on New Year's Day, I'm in the hospital, and why this lady came in on New Year's Day, she came in and showed me these two different cardio rehab programs they had, and one of them showed that they could reverse diabetes. And I said, I want that one. And I took that as an answer from the Lord to give me wisdom how to eat. And it hasn't been easy, but I'm finding out that the good foods taste good. And my diabetes is already reversed to pre-diabetes. So I'm 6.1. The doctor called and said, hey, cut back your insulin. And I'm losing weight. And I'm thankful. I know that was God's answer to prayer. But they tell us in this class, if you eat the right stuff, your body will take care of itself. And so back to this. What does it say here? It says, cursed is the ground for thy sake. It's for thy sake that he curses the ground. And of course, the thorns and thistles are needful for us. If we want to grow crops, we've got to get out there and pull them. You know, God said we eat by the sweat of our brow. But it's good for us. It's good to do things. That's another reason we have so many problems in this country, health problems. The government pays for everybody to eat and everybody's housing. All they got to do is sit there and eat and take it. And so they're all in bad health. Okay, let's go to Judges. Got a little story here. There's lots of different stories about thorns in here. And this is a story about Gideon and his 300 men. And we're thinking, well, what do they have to do with thorns and thistles? We'll find out. And I won't read the whole thing, but they were chasing the in the battle. They were winning. They were chasing four kings. And actually two of them by this time, Zeba and Zalmunna, the kings of Midian. So I'll start chapter 8, verse 4. It says, and Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint yet pursuing them. I like that, faint yet pursuing. And he said unto the men of Succoth, give, I pray you, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they be faint. And I am pursuing after Zeba and Zalmunna, kings of Midian. And the princes of Succoth said, are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in thine hand, that we should give bread unto thine army? And Gideon said, therefore, when the Lord hath delivered Zeba and Zalmunna into mine hand, then I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars. And then we'll move on to verse 15 and 16. And this is after they'd caught the kings and won the battle, and they won it before the sun was up. And it says, and he came unto the men of Succoth and said, behold, Zeba and Zalmunna, with whom ye did upbraid me, saying, are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in thine hand, that we should give bread unto thy men that are weary? And he took the elders of the city, and thorns of the wilderness, and briars. And this is important. And with them, he taught the men of Succoth. He didn't punish them. These men were believers. They were saved men. And we're going to see some more about this chastening and thorns and things. But there was something there that was worth saving or preserving. He taught them. And I believe they were different men after that. Now they, at the time that he first came to them, they didn't have the vision to see that God had already given Gideon the victory. They were believers, but they just couldn't see that victory. They said, we have to see, you know, kind of like Thomas, you know, I have to stick my fingers in the holes in your hands. Okay, so now there were the men of Penuel. They had no hope. They were destroyed. They wouldn't help, but they weren't believers. I just wanted to throw that in there. Okay. So all that the men of Succoth saw was a few faint men. They didn't see the victory promised, but they were sons. They were worthy of chastening. Kind of reminding us of somebody else, like maybe me. And some people might say they got what they deserved. But actually they got what they needed. They needed to be taught. They needed the Word of God. Amen. They needed to know about grace and love. And I thought, how often do we criticize a brother that's maybe in affliction? Or, maybe if he wouldn't have been drinking all his life, he wouldn't have got that hepatitis or whatever, taking that healing balm over there and the grace of God to him. Psalms 119:71, it says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." And that word statutes means appointments. And we have things appointed to us. These trials we go through, these tests, God has appointed them specifically for us. And how are we going to learn if he just lets us go along and, do our own thing, live comfortably? I was pretty comfortable till this sciatica hit me. And I know there was a lot of prayers of faith prayed for me, and I know the Lord's healed me. But when he's done with me, then I'll be comfortable. And he's teaching me in this. I did a lot of whining, a few wham, wham, whas. But he's faithful. Amen. And it also says in Psalms 119:67, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word." So these things are good for us. Okay, we'll turn back to Hebrews. Chapter 12. And I'm reading a lot of scriptures tonight, but Jesus always says it better than I do. So, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." It's going back to the men of Succoth. He loved them. They were his already. "If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure." That doesn't mean they enjoyed it. "But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." And I looked up that word chasteneth, and it's 3811 in the Strong's. It says, "To train up a child, that is to educate or discipline, to instruct, to learn, to teach." What did Gideon do with those thorns and briars? He taught them. And then this word chasing here in this last section I read, it's 3809. It means tutorage, that is education or training. By implication, disciplinary. So sometimes it hurts. Correction, chastening, chastisement, instruction, and this is my favorite word, nurture. And Ephesians 6:4, it says, "And ye fathers, Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So you can correct your kids. It's okay. Just do it in love. And believe me, I didn't think my parents loved me a few times when I was getting a spanking, but I found out later they did. Hebrews 4:12, it says, and Ty was bringing this out, I think, in his class this morning. I thought you'd found my notes or something. It says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And this right here, the word of God, is our instruction. It's our chastening. I thought of Peter after he denied the Lord the third time, and he didn't even need to hear the word. Jesus didn't have to say anything. He just saw the word. He saw Jesus' face, and he went out and wept. And he remembered the words, you know, that Jesus said. He prophesied that the cock would crow. But it was that loving look from Jesus that brought the chastening. And I was thinking, especially with my mom going home, of all the things that I regret the most with growing up was the times that I made my mother cry. Just to know that I hurt her heart. But she still loved me. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 48:10. And I didn't want anybody getting paper cuts, so a lot of these I just wrote down. I left my Band-Aids downstairs. So. But Isaiah 48:10, it says, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. And I thought, that's where he gets his bride, you know. And he's chosen us from before the foundations of the world. He knew what we were going to face. He knew those afflictions were coming. And they are appointed just for us. Mine's different than Hagen's, Aaron's. We all have our different trials. Now, they are common to man. But at least we have an expected end to our trials. Amen. In 1 Thessalonians 3:3, it says, and Paul was talking about the saints, and they cared about his afflictions. He said that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. And we can wonder sometimes, you know, I thought, I just had the heart attack, I'm going through the rehab, and then I get the sciatica, and the Lord takes my mom home. Then the doctors call me about some other things, and I, you know, started to get a little discouraged. But then I knew these things were appointed. Amen. And we'll find out a little bit later that the Lord is at hand. He has to get done with us. Psalms 119:75 again, it says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. It's because he loves us, he's faithful, and he likes to instruct us in the right way to go. 2 Corinthians... Romans 12:7-9, and this is Paul's thorn. We all know this, but I just thought I had to read it. And it says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for thy strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And I was thinking about that. I was talking with Vic the other night, and I was kind of complaining about I hadn't been sleeping good with the sciatica and everything, and he brought up this. He says, I'd rather glory in my infirmities. And that just encouraged my heart so much. I knew I needed to quit complaining and start glorying. And I don't know, see you, Vic, but I love you and appreciate that. You know, just when you think you know something, the Lord will come along and instruct us in the way of grace. Amen. And I thought about that, how the children of Israel knew God's acts, but Moses knew his ways. Moses knew grace. And even knowing this, we'll tend to tell God what we need and what we can take. I don't know how many times I've said, Lord, I can't take this. He gives me a little more. I've suffered enough. He gives me a little more. And most of the time we want his grace to deliver us from the trial when he's made it sufficient for the trial. And he's not going to test us above that which we're able to bear. Although I've argued with him on that on more than one occasion. And I'd already quoted this, but 1 Peter 4:12 and 13, it says, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. And praise the Lord for that. Philippians 4:4-7, it says, Rejoice in the Lord always. Ty's reminded me of this several times, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, and underline this, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I don't see anything about whining and complaining. And rejoice. Oh, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And I like that first line. It says, Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Just give them a double portion of rejoicing. And why? Why do we want to rejoice? The Lord is at hand. We're almost there. Amen. I was kind of thinking, how does Sean get by getting there ahead of all of us, you know? And I'm thankful. I love that brother. And I'm so thankful that he is there, but I think we kind of got cheated, maybe. And that's a little bit of humor there. But, and then the answer to anxiety, prayer and supplication, and I capitalize this with thanksgiving. I know I mentioned this Friday night, when you're thankful, that means you have faith. That means you believe that God's already done it. And then what comes from all that? The peace of God. And I did want to talk about one more thorn. And John 19. Verses 1 and 2, it says, Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head And they put on him a purple robe, and I'm just going to read the third verse too, and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands. And if you read in Mark 15:19, it says they smote him on the head with a reed. So they beat those thorns in. They beat that crown in. And this brought me to Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. And it says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." And I thought of that. He was chastised for our sins, for us. And all these things, he suffered for us. He did nothing wrong. And who was afflicted more than Jesus was? He, who always did the will of his Father, was chastened for our sake. He wore that cruel, mocking crown of thorns that we might wear that crown of righteousness. He bore it all. And our light affliction is but for a moment. And I want to come back to what we read earlier. "Rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad with exceeding joy." And I'll end it there. So let's go ahead and we'll stand and be dismissed. If anybody needs prayer, come on up. And Joe, would you dismiss us?